I've been binge watching this new show on Netflix called Tidying Up. It's a show based on Marie Kondo's book, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. I read the book a couple years ago, and I followed through with her method, and I love the book itself. This is because Marie was a Shinto shrine maiden for 5 years, and I could tell the parts of her tidying up philosophy that was influenced by the Shinto religion. I myself studied the Shinto religion in an internship in Japan while I was getting my Master's of Divinity. There I learned that in the Shinto religion, for example, some temples don't allow their buildings to get old. Every 20 years, they burn it to the ground and rebuild a new one. In the same way, she advises people to not keep things forever for the sake of sentiment, but only to keep the things that truly bring them joy. In this way, the few things you have are much appreciated rather than lost in a clutter of things that you're supposed to keep. Reading her book and seeing her show was delightful because in both she does not shame anyone. When she sees a garage filled with junk, she claps her hands together in delight. "I love mess," she says, as she asks the people what all this stuff is for. A lot of people aren't quite sure. They haven't examined all her things for a few years. Since she is able to do something so personal, like get people to downsize their belongings by a half or a third, without people becoming defensive, I thought I would apply some of her principles to tidy up the fight for equality. Wouldn't it be nice if we could burn patriarchy to the ground every 20 years or so, and then rebuild masculinity to meet a new standard? In a way, this is what the Me Too movement is doing. While it is wrong to date underage girls or bribe women for career advancement or molest young girls, R. Kelly, the musician who kept a harem of underage girls, Harvey Weinstein, the producer who kept a literal casting couch for aspiring women actors, and Larry Nassar, who molested over 265 girls in his career in gymnastics, it still happened. And these men were able to get away with such abuse for over 30 years or more. Widespread abuse that is known but ignored or deferred by a community is such a common experience that when one woman Twitter user asked people to share their experience of it, she received thousands and thousands of comments of people who knew as kids to stay away from so-and-so. But that so-and-so got away with it for decades. Me Too, started by Tarana Burke, is burning down the house of patriarchy that allowed these predators to exist, namely the idea that unless you have definitive proof, you shouldn't say anything because you could have misunderstood, or maybe it was you who did something wrong. Tarana Burke knew that only by sharing this story and saying Me Too could you build up the corroborating evidence and make the community face themselves, because it took women and men ignoring it for years in order for such abuses to be perpetuated. But let's go back to Marie Kondo. How else can we tidy up the fight for equality? Surely, these are the worst of the worst cases, unfortunate, and while not as rare as we hope, the majority of men don't act that way. What can the average well-meaning person do in order to help besides reporting suspicious behavior and believing survivors? Well, let's back up a second, because before Marie Kondo tidies up a house, she introduces herself to it. She thanks it, asks it for its blessing. With each thing that is let go, she thanks it for its service and all the lessons that it has taught. So let us, in the same way, back up and thank the struggle for equality for all it has done and ask for its blessing. Oh, patriarchy, the system that favors men in all ways of life, we thank you for whatever you were trying to do. We're not sure exactly why you rose up. Some say it came at the end of the hunter-gatherer societies. Some say it came with the rise of private property. Some erroneously believe that it came because women and men are essentially different, both biologically and mentally. We appreciate all you were able to accomplish through the fair labor of men and unfair exploitation of women and gender minorities. Now we call upon the time before written history that has the evidence of women in power and women deities. We evoke the feminine divine that inspired women and gender minorities all over the world to rise up and fight for the right to vote, for equal pay, for reproductive control, to be seen as a person and not as private property. We are grateful to live in an age in which we can speak against transgressions and be believed. And we ask to keep an open mind towards progress until all are truly free from the constricting roles of gender. We ask for those blessings as we face the difficult work ahead. Blessed be. Wonderful. Now that we've introduced ourselves formally to the struggle for equality, we can get to work. How Marie Kondo advises us to keep and discard things is to ask one question. When you touch it, does it spark joy? What is it about the typical feminine roles you love? What is it about the typical masculine roles that give you a thrill? What parts could you leave behind? Marie has a process of how to bring all the things together to figure out what does and doesn't spark joy. With her method, she asks people to process things by category, not by location. We could apply this to the fight for equality as well. Rather than be virtuous by your location, that is say, well, in my life, I've never heard of any abuse or harassment. My house is the paragon of equality, and I've done a great job of dismantling patriarchy in my location. Think of the fight for equality systemically. What good is it if you've been wonderful your whole life, if over 90% of women have reported harassment or abuse by only men? How can you work on the systemic wide struggle for equality as much as you have worked for it in your own life? Now, since we're going by category here, let's metaphorically do what Marie Kondo does physically. Let's gather up all the privileges that patriarchy assigns men and women protect, that men get and women help them get. Gather it up all throughout the house of society. You need to pile it up on the floor and take a good look at how big it is. Most people don't realize how much there is until it's all piled up in front of them. There are closets and closets full of it throughout the house. Sometimes when people have said that they've gotten through all of their pile, Marie asks, "Are you sure?" She says, because we are going through the entire house, and if she finds something in that category still in the house, after this step, it will be gotten rid of immediately and will not have a chance to be decided upon if it sparks joy or not. She remarks that oftentimes her clients realize that there is a little storage place they forgot about and add it to the pile. So in the same way, pile up all the privilege and look at it totally and completely. And if you think that maybe you've gotten all of it, think to yourself again, well, what privilege haven't I thought of that I might lose unless I think of it? Think about a privilege that if you were to lose it, you might want to do another check. These can be important privileges, such as men making 50 cents to 20 cents more on the dollar for the same job that a woman performs based on race, or being applauded for saying the same thing a woman says, or even be able to pump gas at a gas station without being catcalled. A lot of this stuff was given to us by others before us, and we don't even know that we have it. So pile it all up. Do a big inventory, because we're going to go through it and see what sparks joy. And as you pile that high pile that's quite high, and as those privileges are even much higher for white men. And now let's tidy things up. We will do what Marie Kondo does with each article in the category, touch it and see if it sparks joy. You have to go through and touch every privilege and really feel it. The Japanese word for healing is teete, which means to lay hands on. You will not understand all the privileges unless you really touch it. A recent article on everyday feminism by Maisha Johnson identified at least 160 privileges men enjoy and women protect. That's a lot of clutter. We don't need all of that. Worse still, this clutter limits you because it puts people in suffocating roles they didn't ask for and probably don't want once they realize they have it. And once the clutter is gone, you will be able to see so much more, to have room to truly just be yourself. Even the air will change around you. Touch these privileges and decide which ones do not spark joy and let them go. Tired of men always being assumed to be the leader? Make sure the women are in charge and support them as they take off. Men, are you sick of the sound of your own voice? will go ahead and talk way less and make it a point to never interrupt women or gender minorities when they are speaking. Are you exhausted by watching women do all of the work? And also all of the work in the progress for equality? Great. Step up and form a men's group to discuss what kind of masculinity our society should embrace. Sad about how you haven't read any feminist theory and can't name any feminist writers who are changing our society? Well, I would recommend Audre Lorde, Adrienne Rich, Rebecca Solnit, and bell hooks to start with. Feeling jealous that women create women-only spaces or organizations for the advancement of women? Let that go and support women and gender minority-led initiatives. Are you so tired of making more money than women? Well, give that money away to women, especially women of color projects. And as you reckon with each privilege, touch it and consider, does it bring you joy? The answer on how to let go and deal with it should become easier as you touch it. One piece of advice that Marie Kondo gives, that has been backed up by psychological studies, is that the most effective way to do this is quietly, without any praise. She says, do not discuss your declutter plans with your family, because by talking about it, you will think that you are actually doing it. By trying to get validation from it, you end up missing the point. So instead, just do the work of tidying up for equality. Don't expect anybody to give you a cookie and welcome criticism. That shows you truly want to be better, instead of grandstanding. Don't become dispirited if you discover there is a lot of work to do. Marie Kondo says that she loves mess because it gives you a sense of purpose. She can see the house as it was meant to be, nice and tidy and a place of joy for everyone in it. When she sees a mess, that means she has an opportunity to tidy and therefore personally contribute to a house of joy and love. In the same way, when we read yet another Me Too story, we should feel discouraged, but we should also see how the story gives us an opportunity to be grateful for a better world, that person can actually tell their story now. We can celebrate the courage of the people speaking out and believe them. We can think that if the patterns that people are talking about occur in our own lives, we can confront it now because we know about it. We are grateful for the opportunity to correct it where we are, because this sparks joy for others. It is because she sees everything as an opportunity to be grateful and align us with our greater purpose that she says tidying should be a happy, special event, not a chore or something that makes us angry because we've let things get so bad, rather a happiness that we can shape the world to meet all of our needs. I could tell that this tidying up for equality happens with the men in my life. For example, my brother, who is genuinely delighted to bring in another man to explain to him why it is just plain wrong to keep on telling women to smile. He knows he's part of a club that is tidying up for equality and feels blessed to do the work because it is a special event for him to bring everyone to their greater purpose. Marie Kondo says that when you've honed your sense of joy with everyday items, when you finally know what you need in order to be truly happy, then you are ready for the most difficult category, sentimental items. These are the things that you are often guilted into keeping, have been told you need to keep, even if you don't use it or don't want it or don't look at it anymore. In Marie Kondo's world, this is often photo boxes full of events from decades ago, odd knickknacks from various trips to prove that you were there, things given to you by special people, but you really don't want the thing itself, antiques from relatives who have passed on that you don't know quite what to do with, but you keep it because you want to honor the person who's died. She helps people process these by helping people understand that it is the relationship to the people of the sentimental item that is important, not the item itself, that those people still love you even if you don't have the items, and if they honestly love you, they will understand why you decided to get rid of it. So too can we approach the previous generations of people who fought for equality and keep the important things and let go of the old things that don't work for us anymore. For example, previous generations fought just for equal access. That is, allowing women and gender minorities into the same places of power that men are given. However, even though laws and policies were updated, we still suffer from an overrepresentation of men in nearly every important place in American society. We now know that equality is not enough. We need justice. That is, it's very hard for women to get into those places of power if they're expected to pull double duty, work all day at their job, and come home and take care of the house at night, or the kids. It's hard for women to get into those places if they don't have reproductive justice and control over their bodies, or if they're harassed by men every day by being asked to smile all the time. We therefore can thank what the previous generation was trying to do and appreciate people and their sentiments, and we can let them go if they don't spark joy. Because we know what previous generations really want was not for us to do things exactly as they did or believe the same way that they did, but they want us to be happy and joyful. Now, they may not understand why we're doing things in a new way, why we have to be so confrontational with Me Too, why we have to burn down the house of patriarchy. But they love that the next generation is doing, and they will learn about what needs to be done. So let us be committed, cheerful, non-defensive, and eager about what needs to be done. Let us address our mess openly and honestly, and remember that if it doesn't bring you joy and joy into your community for everyone, it is time to thank it for the things that it taught us and to let it go.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.